إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. حياكم الله أيها الإخوة والأخوات، dear brothers and sisters, welcome to this session of the Arabic language for the non-Arabic speakers, which we begin once again with it in a new duration, which we inshallah ta'ala expect to finish by the end of June. Therefore, inshallah, we are going to go through the book with the details that is enough for such level, inshallah. We are going to have a daily session at this time, constantly, except for some hard difficulties and circumstances that may stop us for one day or something like that. The durus are going to be recorded and posted immediately right after the class on the website and for all. And we are going to call it the Ajr Rumiyah for 2010. So for those who can reach it without mixing with the other classes conducted before. We begin inshallah ta'ala right now with a short biography of the author whom this book is named with. As the word Ajr Rumiyah does not relate to the Arabic language, but it is the name of the author, as one of his grandfathers called Ibn Ajr Rum. His name is Muhammad ibn Dawood al-Sinhaji, well known with Ibn Ajr Rum. His kunya is Abu Abdullah. And sorry, once again, his name is Muhammad ibn Muhammad. Ibn Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Muhammad, ibn Dawood, ibn Ajur Rum, Aslan Haji. So this is his name, Muhammad, ibn Dawood, ibn Ajur Rum, Aslan Haji. And his kunya is Abu Abdullah. Sinhaji, referring to the city called Sinhaj in Morocco. He was born in year 672 of the Hijra calendar and passed away, rahimahullah ta'ala, in year 723. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, الكلام هو اللفظ المركب المفيد بالوضع. الكلام, the speech. That the Arab Jews must have these four conditions are together. And these four conditions are the definition of Al-Kalam also. These are Al-Lafz. So the speech, according to the scholars of the Nahu or the grammatical scholars or the grammatists, they call it, they say it must be loved. Meaning it must be pronounced with a voice that people can hear. So if it is written, according to them, it is not a speech. It might be the statement of. And this will benefit us in the Aqeedah. That the Quran, as Allah Ta'ala called it, Kalam. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. This means that the Quran was spoken by Allah Ta'ala, heard by Jibreel, conveyed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second is murakkab. So it must be murakkab. Al-Murakkab means it contains two words or more to form a speech. So if it is less than two words, it's not considered to be a speech according to the grammatists or according to the grammar scholars. The Arabic grammar scholars. One might say, what about فعل الأمر؟ اكتب اقرأ قف. One might say this is one word. We say, although it is here as one word, however, and the analyzing of this speech, we find it is not only one word, And here, for example, it say "Oktub Anta," means "Oh, you write." "Iqra Anta," "Oh, you read." وبهذا نعلم, and by that we understand that فعل الأمر is not one word, but as فعل الأمر goes only to the second party, there was no need to repeat the pronoun. ثالثا, the third condition is المفيد, it must be beneficial, meaning the person who listens to you will find enough information once you start. He is not going to wait for more speech to complete the meaning. So if it is not beneficial, then it's not going to be a speech according to the ulama of the Nahu, the Arabic grammar. And this can be like Ja'a Muhammadun. Ja'a is fi'l madi, and Muhammadun is fa'il, and this is enough to understand something. But if you add one more word to it, you're not going to make it more beneficial, but you are going to make it meaningless, or it's short sentence, incomplete sentence. Like if you say إِذَا جَاءَ مُحَمَّد, so once you added this word إِذَا, then you know that you have now incompleted the meaning in here. So this is non-beneficial statement. And for the speech to be considered a speech according to the ulama of Nahu, it must be beneficial. The fourth is بالوضعي. And بالوضعي, to the ulama, this has two meanings. One is to be all in Arabic. As if one, for example, says إِذَا جَاءَ مُحَمَّدٌ I will tell him, or I will hug him. Now this is a combination between two languages. According to the ulama of Nahu, this is not a speech, not kalam. Even if the person who spoke this statement and those who hear it from him, they all understand both languages, Arabic and English, and they had a meaning in their mind complete, yet according to the analyzation of this, of these four conditions, an implementation of these four conditions upon this statement, we find that this statement has missed one main condition, which is to be all in Arabic, بالوضع. So it must be all in Arabic. be considered a speech to the ulama of Na'im. One another meaning for bilwad, as some of the ulama say, must be all intentionally. And what we mean by intentionally, we mean it must be spoken while the person is sinned, awake. So the person must not be mad, must not be drunk, must not be under the effect of any drugs. And must not be under threat, must not be threatened and forced to say what he says. And he must not say that while sleeping. As if he said while sleeping, then this is not considered to be speech. The benefit of this in the Sharia is that if the person calls the divorce while he is mad, drunk, or under the effect of drugs or magic, or if he says it while he was sleeping, this divorce is invalid. So these are the four conditions for the speech to be considered a speech or a kalam according to the scholar. The linguistic says, who are different group of scholars of the Arabic language who are worried about the word studies and the vocabularies, they consider that anything can give a meaning, it's speech. Whether it is a sign, and a signboard, or a hand sign, or a face, an impression, or whatsoever that can make the person understand something, they consider it a speech. However, we are not too worried about the linguistics. But we are worried about once we know that, then we have to know that the kalam in Arabic has three different sections or divisions. We have al-ism, al-fi'l, and harf. Ism is the noun. And the harf is the verb. The fa'l is the verb. And harf must be harf, a letter that come for a meaning. It's not the alphabetical or the alphabet letters. But it must be a letter that can give a meaning. The noun is a word that is used to give a determined definition for something. Once this word is mentioned, that thing is known immediately. Such when we say Muhammad, we immediately understand that this is a human being, male. And we cannot have any more information about this name other than what we said. We cannot know from the word Muhammad that he is tall or short, fat or thin, clever or mad, alive or dead. We cannot know that. We cannot know that. But we know certainly that Muhammad is a human being and he is male. And he is male. That's all what we can understand from this. And this is more than enough for one word to make. It can be a pronoun such as huwa, he, hiya, she, and the like. When we say huwa, we know that you are speaking about a male. Whether it is from human being, from animals, or from any other thing, such as when you say huwa alladhi qala uktub, and huwa here refers back to the one who spoke of this verb uktub, and this, let's assume that his name is Muhammad, so huwa is a replacement of the name Muhammad. While when we say هذا هو المسجد, a masjid is not a human, it's not an animal, but it's other thing, it's a solid building. So we say هذا هو المسجد, so هو here is also a name, or a name, a noun, sorry, a noun. Verb is the verb is a word that gives a meaning also similar to the noun. However, the difference between these two words is that the noun gives a meaning for something that never changes. As when you say Muhammad, Muhammad would remain Muhammad till the day of resurrection. The construction of this world must not be changed, except the harakat of the last letter of it, like Muhammadun or Muhammadan or Muhammadin. Depends on the position of it in Arab. While the verb changes, whenever the tense changes, this word will change. And the verb is like akala, ya'kulu, and kul. Akala is the past tense. Ya'kulu is the present tense. And kul is a command, which means the future, right after the time of speaking. As when you tell your child, eat, it means that at this moment, this child did not begin to eat. And the same with the other tenses of verb, like the mudari', which means either the simple present or the present continuous. or even the present perfect. And then we have the third part or division of the speech, which is called harfun ja'a li ma'na. And as we said that the harf which comes for a meaning is not a harf from the alphabet, but it is called harf. However, it is not from the alphabet. It is like حروف الجر, the prepositions. These are called harf, although some of them are some of them contain two letters and some three and some one, like men. These are two letters, men. Mim kasra, not mim fatha, because mim fatha is man, and that is a noun, not a harf. Min meaning from. You say safartu min al-Riyadh ila al-Dammam. I've traveled from Riyadh to Dammam. Wa ثلاثي الحروف, and the one has three letters is على, طب عين لام and ألف, على ألف مقصورة. وأما أحادي الحرف, the one has only one single letter and it is called حرف جاء لمعنى, although it looks like the half of the alphabet. However, it has a meaning here that gives it more than one letter, although the construction is only one letter, such as Alba. As well, Allah Ta'ala said, اركض برجلك, اركض برجلك, برجلك, hit with your foot. So be here means will, and the same with letter kaf. You say سلمى كالقمر. You say سلمى is like, is as beautiful as the moon. So كاف here gives us a meaning, although it is only one letter. And same with the لام. You say القلم لمحمد. So the lam here in Li Muhammad has a meaning. It means the ownership, the ownership. And same as the wow. When you say Ja'a Muhammadun wa Zaidun. So wow here means together. And it in the swearing, you say Wallahi, and it means by Allah. So these are called harfun ja'a li ma'na. This is called harfun ja'a lima'na. Each one of these three divisions of the speech has signs to differ between them. As for the ism, we can know that this word is ism whenever we see two things at the beginning and two things at the end of it. Two things at the beginning is alif and lam. When you see al-kitab, al-masjid, al-rajul, al-mar'a, al-sama, al-kalb, al-himar, wahakada, and so on, you know now, once al is used there, then it must be a noun. Exactly like in English, you say the man, the house, the mosque, the donkey, the dog. And you never can say al-akala, al-ya'kulu, al-kul. Now this is wrong. Same in English. You can't say the eat, the drink. So one of the main signs of the ism is al, at the beginning, al. One another thing at the beginning is the prepositions. Whenever any preposition precedes a word, we know that this word is a noun. As when you say, Muhammadun fil bayti. So we have here fil bayti. We have the preposition fi and we have al bayt. Although al bayt here has a sign which is al, but yet it is confirmed that it is a noun by adding the fi to it. So these are the two signs that come before the noun. The other two signs come at the end of the noun. One of them is called al-khafd, which you just hear in the statement we made earlier. Muhammadun fil bayti. So al-bayti here, you hear the sound of kasra, of khafd at the end. Fil bayti. And this is because of the preposition fi. And all this means all the prepositions will certainly make the word after it makhfud. And the last of the signs of the noun, which comes also at the end of the word, is the tanween. And tanween is the double fatha, double dhamma, double kasra. You have two fatha, one over the other, two kasra, one lower than the other. And this proves to us that this word is a noun. And the verb has three signs. Sorry, four signs. Four signs. We have qad, which precede the word. And whenever you hear qad, you understand immediately that the word after it is a verb, no doubt. It's not a name. Sorry, it's not a noun. As Allah Ta'ala said, qad aflaha al-mu'minun. So aflaha here is a verb, no doubt, because of qad. And also the seal, the letter seal, Sa. As Allah Ta'ala says, سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ سَيَقُولُ. The verb is يَقُولُ, and this seal is for the future, meaning it is not said yet, but it's about to be said. And this means that this word يَقُولُ is a verb because of the seal. And same thing with سَوْفَ, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. سَوْفَ. And سَوْفَ here means future, but future meaning in a term longer than the term of future that is in the scene. And the last sign for verb is what is called ta al-ta'nith al-sakina. Ta al-ta'nith al-sakina is a ta, has a sukun above it, meaning there is no fatha, no dhamma, nor that there is a kasra on that letter. And this letter, ta sakina, must come at the end of the word. And this word is a verb. And it means that this verb is referred to a female. Such as when you say akala Muhammadun, so akala is the verb referred back to a male, Muhammad. Then when you have a female, you don't say akala Fatimatu, but you say akalat Fatimatu, akalat. So akala Muhammadun al-ta'ama and akalat Fatimatu al-ta'ama. So these are the four signs for the fi'l, the verb. And then we have the harf. What is the sign for the harf? The author says here, وَالْحَرْفُ مَا لَا يَصْلُحُ مَعَهُ دَلِيلُ الْإِسْمِ وَلَا دَلِيلُ الْفِعْلِ. So he said the harf is the thing that neither the sign for noun nor that the sign for verb can be used with. Very simple. So it does not have a sign except that it is free of the sign. So these are the three divisions speech in the language, and here we stop to continue inshallah tomorrow with Bab al-I'rab, and this is the purpose of learning the Arabic language. The I'rab is the purpose of learning the Arabic language, and the I'rab means the clarification. So if you know how to do the I'rab, then you must be someone who is very excellent in Arabic language. But what we are going to talk about tomorrow is only one small bit, because of this book and other long books of Arabic grammar is only about this thing, I'rab. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يرزقني وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح وأن يجعلنا وإياكم مباركين أينما كنا وأن يغفر لنا ولآبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وأن يرزقنا وإياكم الهداية والسداد والتوفيق والرشاد والإخلاص والسنة. والله تعالى أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If you have any question related to what we spoken about, then you can raise your hand. And please raise your hand before you even write, type anything, just to make us know that there is a question. Right. That means there are no questions. End of the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.